Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Hand off to Cook. Through a hole on the left side. Squirts away and reaches for the end zone, and he is in. James Cook with a 5-yard touchdown run as the Cook is in the kitchen.
High driven ball.
He gets it at the 14 and he is blistered by Mac Hollins. Oh my goodness. That's a Wallet Bone Keys hit because Marvin Mims is looking for all three of them.
Allen rolling out to his right, looking for somebody open. Nobody is. Has to throw it to the end zone for Ty Johnson, who makes a sliding catch in the end zone for a touchdown. Allen back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20. Puts on the Jets. Gets away. 5. Touchdown. Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
Yeah, it started great, and then it went a little sideways for a few minutes, and then it got really good and then great again, and that's where it ended and really kind of coasted through most of the, I'd say, last quarter and a half for the Buffalo Bills yesterday against the Denver Broncos. Good Monday morning to you. It is a Buffalo football playoff victory Monday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by and presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Also brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And of course, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm your host, Sal Capaccio. Glad to be with you today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, on a Buffalo Bills playoff victory football Monday. Yeah, there's a lot of words there. I don't care. I'll keep saying them because it feels good to talk to you after a victory in the fifth straight season in which the Buffalo Bills will advance to the AFC divisional round. Five straight AFC East championships, all 5 years, not getting the bye week. So they had to play a home game. Let's run through them. Of course, we know in 2020, it was at home against the in 2020. That wasn't the perfect game in 2020. The Indianapolis Colts. Sorry, the Indianapolis Colts in the COVID year. 21 was the perfect game against the Patriots. 22 was the Dolphins, a little too close for comfort. 23 was the Steelers, game that got moved from Sunday to Monday. And then 24 now. Five games at home during this five-year divisional championship run where they didn't get the bye week but got a home game, took care of business, and now advance on to the divisional round. And, of course, we know where the season has ended the last several years, getting to the AFC Championship in that first year, but not since. And that's the task at hand next week at home against the Baltimore Ravens, 6:30 p.m. Sunday night. We will have plenty of time to talk about that all week. But today, we really focus on what happened yesterday, where this team is now. If you want to talk about the Ravens game, totally fine. You can do that. That's what we do on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On a Victory Monday, but any Monday, really. It's a reaction show. We take your phone calls. So let me do that now. In fact, I got to kind of move this computer over here so I can see your calls, who's on my screener. Hold on. Do this while I'm talking in real time. All right. 803-0550 is the number. So 803-0550 is the phone number to call. You can get on the air right now. If you want to call, you're going to get on the air. You're going to get your chance to talk and say what you feel about what happened yesterday at Highmark Stadium. And, of course, you don't just have to listen, you can watch. We are on the WGR Facebook page right now. Just go to facebook.com/WGR550. And of course, I'm wearing my Victory Monday t-shirt, okay? Because that's what it is today. And we celebrate victories. We talk about victories. We talk about what lies ahead. But as I always love to do and remind you, I've been doing this for years now on this show. And I remember going back to 2020 in the COVID year when they really started to, you know, come on. And Josh was playing at an unbelievable level. And I would say 4 years ago, I'd say, listen, you can never take this for granted. Enjoy these wins. We know what it was like for 17 years not to be in the playoffs. For a lot of us, we know what it was like to be 2-14 in the mid-80s and back-to-back seasons. Yes, they went to four Super Bowls, and they've had some other success in the 90s. But none of this can ever be taken for granted. So enjoy it. Enjoy your Victory Monday. Enjoy all the content you can consume today about the game. And then turn your attention towards the Baltimore Ravens. Immediately after yesterday's game, there were a couple people I saw walking out. First thing, next week's going to be different, much harder. I said, I agree. Enjoy this one, though. Don't, you know, to me, you can do however you want. I'm just here to tell you, I think that if you take the approach of let's enjoy it, consume it, and there's going to be plenty of time to kind of be stressed about and worry about and think about what lies ahead. I think that it gets you in a better headspace, okay? It makes you feel a little bit better. We all know what lies ahead on Sunday. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and we'll, of course, get into it a little bit later when we get our look ahead of the next game and however else you want to talk about it. In the meantime, a lot to get to from this game. We started off with some of Chris Brown's calls on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Fantastic call on that hit by Mac Hollins. And, of course, we wrapped it up there in the open with Kyle Williams returning to Orchard Park, to Highmark Stadium, and getting the crowd going, getting the crowd revved up. Oh, that was a fantastic, where else would you rather be opening hype? It was a fantastic flyover by the fighter jets, national anthem, and then it was not fantastic how this game started for the Buffalo Bills. They, of course, after winning the toss, deferred. I like when they do that, even when they take the ball. And I know the weather might be changing, but, you know, start off on defense. You might have a chance to double dip at the end of the half and control what happens at the end of the half and then have your chance to score. The key is, though, if you're going to do that, you got to stop. You got to stop the team that you're facing when you're on defense to begin the game. And they did not do that. Credit to the Denver Broncos for a really nice, well-designed opening script game plan. Also, maybe a little bit of miscommunication, busted coverage, whatever, by the Bills, but credit the Broncos. They convert a long third down early on. And then, right after that, it's over the top to Troy Franklin for a touchdown. You can't let that happen. Third and eight, and then a 43-yard scoring pass two plays later. It is 7-0 in the blink of an eye. And I think, like a lot of you, I try to think about what it was like for you watching the game in your perspective. I'm down on the sidelines trying to pay attention to what's going on in the field, what's going on the sidelines, injuries, things like that. sometimes I think about, oh, what's the reaction going on social media? What's the reaction going on with the fans watching at home after that? Then I think about today, what was it like for you watching that? Did you think, oh my God, this is it? We're really going to end this season here like this against this team? Or did you have faith and say, you know what? It's okay. We got Josh Allen. Because nobody knew what Josh Allen and the offense could do against that defense. And let me tell you, folks, okay? That is a good defense. That is not, and especially a really good front with a shutdown corner behind them. I know that they've played some lesser teams where they've kind of, you know, I guess fattened up the stats a little bit. I even hate saying that because I will tell you, talking with Bills players and coaches this week, they were to be very, very, you know, respected. But the Bills did a really good job on offense. Close to 500 yards of offense for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And it really kind of started with the first drive, although they did not finish off the first drive with points, with a touchdown. Excuse me, you'd love to see that. They finished it with a field goal, some struggles in the red zone, but 12 plays, 59 yards. They went down the field. You saw, okay, they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit. Josh is doing his thing. You get down to the Denver 8-yard line, you kick a field goal, it's 7-3. But I think from that first drive, I thought, all right, I think they'll be okay on offense. They're just not going to have to, they can't let what happened on defense happen again. And sure enough, they didn't. Let me give you the drives. After the Broncos' first drive, okay? Here's what they did after that. First drive, 70 yards and a touchdown. Then five yards total in a punt, 31 yards in a punt. That was actually the fake punt drive. 55 yards and a missed field goal. 5 yards, 4 yards. They had three drives of 5 yards or less on those drives out of the next five drives. So three out of the next five drives went 5 yards or less. I did the math on a couple things here. Let me just tell you how dominant the Bills kind of were overall statistically in this game. This speaks to the defense, but also the offense, obviously. So for the defense, the Broncos had 70 yards of offense on the first drive. Into the fourth quarter, they had a total of 170. So that means over the next two-plus quarters, almost three quarters of play, the Bills held the Broncos to 100 total yards. You could say maybe the first drive, the first play, that call over the top, fluke, busted coverage, whatever. It happened. That all counts. For whatever reason, though, it happened. The Bills did a great job after that, making sure it didn't happen again, and they clamped down. Also, I tweeted this out yesterday. Pretty remarkable, actually, when you think about it. So I looked and saw, okay, the Bills had a total of, I'll get the numbers here exactly, 400 and, here you go. Bills had a total of 471 yards of total offense. The Broncos had 224 yards of total offense. Something in last night, boy, close to 500 yards, and you only allow 224? I mean, in a playoff game, that's pretty darn good. So I went to Pro Football Reference and Stathead. You can plug in the cues and the queries and all that. And I put those numbers in. When's the last time and how many times has a team had at least 471 and held another team to 224 or less in a playoff game? Three times ever in the Super Bowl era before yesterday. And the last time, 23 years ago, when the Giants played the Vikings. It happened in 1976, 2000, and 2001. That's it. And that's how you get your way to a 31-7 win. A lot that went right for the Bills, some that went wrong, including, of course, the fake punt. You can't let that happen. That's on coaching. That's on Matthew Smiley. That's on Jamarcus Ingram. You can't let that happen. Good call by the Broncos, but you had to know. I said right here all week. Special teams, they were going to do something. Josh, am I wrong? Did I say to you that they're going to do something on special teams? You're talking about a Super Bowl winning coach who opened up the second half of a Super Bowl with a surprise onside kick. He's now a nine-point underdog coming into Buffalo. And they did it. You got to be more aware of that. Okay, no doubt. That's on special teams, all of that. Other than that, special teams was chef's kiss. Great. Matt Collins, you heard the call from Chris Brown, the hit, to really, you know, stop Marvin Mims, both literally and figuratively. This guy, outside of the fake punt catch, he touched the ball four times for negative 3 yards. They gave it to him twice on offense. punt return, catches, whatever. Then you had Tyler Bass, 5 for 5 on kicks, and his kickoffs were terrific, well-placed, didn't allow them to get an opportunity, and even hit one at the 1 yard line, went through the end zone, which means they get it at the 20 instead of the 30. Perfect right there. And Reed Ferguson even drew a penalty after the hit by Holland. So that was great. And then one final thing on the defense. I hope we can put to rest, for anybody out there, that Dorian Williams should be playing over Matt Milano at this point. I think Matt Milano showed why, and the Bills showed why Matt Milano should be playing. I thought Matt Milano was the best defender on the field for the Bills yesterday. Now, they only had 42 snaps, the Broncos. And the leading tackler was Terrell Bernard with only 6 because of that. Milano only had 5. Milano was used as a spy, did a great job on Knicks. He mirrored him. He got him for a sack at the sidelines where I think Mix was even like, holy cow, I can't believe this guy's here now. And he was really good in the run game. Now, maybe next week you see Dorian Williams as a third linebacker, but I think we could at least put to rest any notion that Dorian Williams should be playing and starting and playing will linebacker over Matt Milano. I heard too much of that the last couple of weeks. A lot of that, I should say, the last couple of weeks, but not the case. I think he showed yesterday. And we all know what Josh did, and we could talk about that with the offense. Let's get right out to the phone lines. Now, though, I've talked enough. It's time for you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start us off with Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How
you
are
got
you doing?
It. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I really appreciate your work and just that information you said about like the differential between the Bills yards and the Denver Broncos yards. It really kind of puts things in perspective, like how dominant we were. You know, yeah. You can kind of look at like, okay, well, it's a 7th seed, but you know, they're a great team, you know, and they made the playoffs, and that was a really great job. I was really impressed with the defense. Like you said, Dorian Williams was getting, you know, there was a lot of calls for him to play, and I agree with you, Matt Milano was the best player on the defense. And I heard you, Jeremy Joe, this morning talking about the speed. How he got to Bo Nix, mm-hmm. and how he was surprised.
I think
and
he was, yeah.
So we saw that he was kind of acting like a spy the whole time. So not to get ahead, but, like, do you think that that's going to be his role next week?
Yeah, I do. I think that they could do that. I think they've done that before. I'm not sure what Milano. I know they've used Dorian Williams as a spy as well. So maybe you see a 3-linebacker set, and Dorian is kind of more of a spy. But then you got to take Taron Johnson off the field. I'm fascinated, Clover, on what they could do next week. I would not doubt it, though. In certain situations, they do that with Matt Milano.
Yeah, I agree. Like, just the way he looked yesterday – and defense overall, I'm excited. I think we have a really good chance next week, especially since he wasn't on the field the last time they played. So, I think we're in a good spot for next week. But
yeah.
Definitely, like, enjoying this victory. You know, playoff win is can't take it for granted, like you say. And, again, appreciate all your work. It's great information.
You got it, Clover. Yeah, and enjoy this week. It's going to be fun. I appreciate you bringing that up because – we're going to talk a lot about that, how they're going to defend, you know, a great Ravens offense with both Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Billy in Toronto is next. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, bud.
Great win. I actually thought I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than that. I think we won quite comfortably. There was a certain house in Toronto that was nervous when they went down and scored that first touchdown. But, the Bills won it quite comfortably. As a matter of fact, the whole playoffs, I thought the games were a lot of games that I thought would be a lot closer, and they weren't. But anyway, listen, this is the only concern I have next year. I'm not going to say about the game. You can talk about that in the fans. It was a great win. But the one thing I worry about, and you know we had this conversation before, is that I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy. But let's put that aside. The one thing I noticed with Baltimore, and the same thing I used to tell you with Patrick Mahomes, be careful with his tricky stuff. With Baltimore, it seems the only time the quarterback runs with the ball is when it's third down. If it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, it's the fake handoff and he's gone.
You mean on designed runs, right? You mean on designed runs. Sometimes on scrambles he will, but you mean on designed runs, I think, right?
Yeah. Scrambles, you never want to get him in a scramble.
Yeah, sure.
But I just noticed that their first priority is to hand the ball off.
Sure.
Hopefully we can keep them in third and six, third and seven, third and eight. Because if it's third or two and three, third, two or three, just go on film. It's a fake handoff, and he's running with it every single time. So hopefully we read this, and if we can keep him in passing positions, I have no doubt in my mind that it's on to Kansas City, and maybe even we get lucky and Texas surprises the whole world. So I'll just leave it at that, Sal.
Yeah, you got it, Billy. Thanks a lot for the call. You know, I think the Bills use Josh in a similar fashion, not as often maybe, but it's generally on third downs when you need that money play. They did it yesterday. Fake. Josh had a great fake to Ty Johnson, converted a third down. But yeah, you don't want those guys taking all those hits. You don't want to do it a lot, first and second down, but it is the playoffs. You know, and obviously, no matter who you're playing, I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, if a team can make the other team one-dimensional, you have a better shot. Just put them in the pocket and make them throw, because it's just less of a threat to run. And yes, these guys are great as passers. Like even Josh, a team would rather just say, hey, we'll just got to make them one-dimensional. You know, don't let them run the ball. Because when a team like the Bills, even with a great quarterback like Josh Allen, even if they can't run the ball, you know, the defense is like, okay, then we can obviously, you know, flood zones and things like that with defenders, and it's going to be very tough for you. So, of course, the Bills want to do that to Lamar or anybody else. Let's go to Bill on a cell. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm sorry. Actually, this is Phil. I'm sorry.
Phil, no, it's okay. Hey, no big deal. We got you, though, Phil. Go ahead.
Well, first and foremost, Sal, I've been waiting to call and talk to you for some time because I usually get to work by 10:30, and I always want to go ahead and just compliment you on your show, and I keep up with everything you do on YouTube and everything else, and I love everything you do for the Buffalo Bills, and happy Victory Monday, and it definitely was a great day yesterday, and I called on the previous show, you know, and I even called last night, too, because I can tell you, you know, I mean, yesterday was a great day, and I believe that clock management, running the clock, using the running game was so efficient, and it was beautiful. Defense really stepped up yesterday. You know, the concerns always are falling into the whole special teams things, you know, mm-hmm. like you were speaking up on earlier. But one thing I brought up on the last show, and I literally pulled it up. I guess what I'm excited about next week, Sal, is that the last time we played Baltimore was in a playoff was at, you know, the 17-3 Taron Johnson, you know, interception. But I remember Lamar Jackson actually talking, and my aunt was at the game. He actually talked after that game, talking about how he couldn't hear the field, and that was the game where there was only 6,000 fans in the stand. So I'm looking forward to the energy that is about to blow up for this game this weekend, and I feel really confident on that end. Now, they did say on the radio earlier that, you know, they are a different team. Lamar Jackson is a different player, and they're a different quarterback, and there is no doubt about that. But we are a different team, too, and I couldn't be more excited. And, you know, like I said, I love your show, and I thank you for everything you do. Shout out to the Standard at Roswell down here in Atlanta. You know, that's our Bills backers bar, one of them. And like I said, happy Victory Monday, and go Bills, and thank you for everything.
Hey, Bill, thanks for the kind words. I hope you get to work on time today, buddy. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Yeah, you got it. All right, Bill. Thanks for the kind words. Bill brought up the YouTube channel. Yeah, we got a lot going on there. It's always game day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove. We recorded last night. You're going to get a lot more content coming your way. You got to go to the Sal Sports YouTube page. So it's at Sal Sports on all social media. But at the YouTube page, we got all the podcasts going on, all different kinds of content. Check it out. Matt Bove and I recorded last night right after the game. So it's an instant reaction type of podcast. We got that going on at Sal Sports. He brought up a time of possession. I am not a big time of possession stat guy, okay? I don't think there's generally a correlation between time of possession and winning football games. Scoring matters, not how long you possess the ball. You can possess the ball for 5 minutes on a drive, and if you punt, it doesn't matter. If you possess the ball for 2 minutes and score, it matters, especially in today's NFL. However, in this game, time of possession told a story. Time of possession for the Bills, 41 minutes, almost 42, 18 minutes and change for the Broncos. That told a story. The story was the Bills controlled the game. They controlled the game. Remember a few weeks ago, the Bills, obviously, I'm sure you do, they go to Detroit. They are winning pretty handily, and then Detroit comes back, and they're scoring, and the Bills are getting up yards. At the end of the day, over 400 yards, passing, offense, whatever. And I came on the radio and said, I felt the Bills controlled the game. See, that's what it's about. The word control matters. You can have a lot of yards, and things can, you can give up a few plays, but it's really who's controlling the game and dictating the terms. In this game, the Bills completely dictated the terms the whole game. In that game against Detroit, things got away from them a little bit late, no doubt, and it shouldn't have been that close. But the Bills dictated the terms the whole game to get them to that spot, which is why I felt the defense played pretty well that day despite all the yardage they gave up. In this game, the Bills just dictated the terms really from the opening offensive drive throughout the rest of the game, and especially in the second half on both sides of the ball. The Bills had over 200 yards rushing, most they've had in a playoff game since 1995. People like my producer Josh probably do not know the name Tim Tyndale. Do you know Tim Tyndale? See? Go look him up. 1995, Buffalo Bills. Thurman Thomas, Tim Tyndale, and Derek Holmes combined over 200 yards rushing for the Bills in that game against the Miami Dolphins. Mike in Tonawanda. What's up, Mike? Mike in Toronto. Big difference probably between Tonawanda and Toronto, but they both start with a T. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just a little, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
My 12-year-old and I were there all weekend last weekend. We had an absolutely great time at a great game with beautiful weather, and we can't wait to come back next weekend. But I just want to say thank you to all the Buffalo fans that make us feel so welcome all the time. We got to go to, you know, an awesome Bandits rock game last weekend. We got to do the kids game at the Sabres. We're going back next weekend. They're hosting Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, and then the undefeated NLL champion Bandits are hosting Philadelphia. We're going to go to all three games next weekend. There's so much good stuff going on right now. And the Buffalo fans are just so incredible every time we come down. We can't say thank you enough.
That's amazing. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Is that all you got? I just want to make sure because
Thank you.
Like, yeah, you
we
got
were
it.
Down there all the time and
you're in Toronto. You root for the Bandits though, right? Not the Rock?
No, I root for the Rock, but
you
that
do.
Was still a great game.
Oh yeah, that's okay. That's cool. You like the sport and you like to go and it's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
I'm a sports fan, and I'm raising a sports fan.
I
and
love it.
Going to other sporting events is how you learn.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate your kind words on that for the people here, and, you know, I'm sure they do as well. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you got it. All right, let's go out to Dominic in Buffalo. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, Sal. First time, long time, buddy. I'm a Steelers fan that lives in Buffalo, New York, so okay. I feel like I'm behind enemy lines.
Yeah, well, you can give us a good perspective on what's going to happen Sunday, I think, from your perspective.
Yes, I actually went to the Steelers-Baltimore game Saturday night.
Okay.
And first of all, we stunk. But second of all, I always thought Lamar was good. I never thought he was great. I thought he was good. But seeing him in person run is just like Josh has a way. I think Josh has a better arm for sure. But like seeing Lamar run compared to Josh, I mean, Lamar's just an absolute.
Yeah.
Athlete.
He's unbelievable.
But I will say this, though. I'm rooting for Buffalo. I want Buffalo to destroy Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I think you guys have the best shot right now in getting to the Super Bowl. I think Houston's going to upset KC, and I think you guys are going to get there. I'm rooting for you guys. But, just seeing Lamar in person just run and then watch us punt the ball on fourth and a half of an inch.
Man. Well, a couple things about that. Number one, Dominic, I agree with you. I've obviously been fortunate enough. I've been on the sidelines for 11 years. People often ask me who some of the more special guys I've watched, and Lamar always comes top of mind because he is truly special. His athleticism is amazing when you're down there on the field and field level watching, and there's just been certain guys that always stick out in your mind. He's one of them. But for you, a question from me. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan from an overall holistic perspective, but I would understand any I was upset. I mean, how do you not go for it on fourth down and inches? Where are you with Mike Tomlin right now in your Steelers?
Yeah, so I love the guy, great coach, but I think it's time, man.
Yeah.
I listen to GR, I listen to your show midday like all the time, but
yep.
I like listening to the morning show out in Pittsburgh just to see the reaction. I can tell you 90% of the calls are saying he's got to go.
Wow, that's insane.
We need someone new. And having three coaches since I've been alive, Sal, I was born in 1993.
Right.
There's only been two coaches I've seen. So, I think it's time. I think we need someone new, and I think we need to get a new quarterback in there. I think Russell's got to go, too.
I think that might happen. Thanks, Dominic. Appreciate your perspective, buddy. Keep listening out here, even though I know you're from Pittsburgh. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Well, maybe not from Pittsburgh, but he's a Steelers fan. But good call there, good perspective. And yes, Lamar is certainly going to be a challenge. He is sensational. It's going to be Lamar against Josh. The two head-to-head, MVP candidates. MVP has been voted on. It doesn't matter. It's the national game of the week. in a week that is called the best week of the NFL season next weekend, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. In the meantime, we're going to take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll get you your injury report. We'll talk more about the game on Sunday, but of course, rewind and take a look about what happened yesterday, 31-7. The Bills advance in the AFC Divisional Round. Back after this timeout of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Allen back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20. Puts on the Jets. Gets away. Five. Touchdown. Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
You know, I've gone all this time and haven't even mentioned. Oh, yeah, a guy named Josh Allen, and I have to because he was sensational in this game. 76%+ passing, 20 of 26. He threw for a total of, 200, and I got all the numbers here, 272 yards. He also ran for 46 yards, over 300 yards of total offense for Josh Allen, two touchdown passes, no turnovers. He was sacked a couple times. He was sensational, and he, of course, had that incredible play to Ty Johnson. What a player Ty Johnson has turned out to be for the Bills here in his second season with the team. All right, we can get into all that, but you got a lot of things to say. A lot of people calling up, and we are taking your calls. 803-0550, 716-803-0550, here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mike in Lancaster's up next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, bud. Thanks.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to congratulate the Buffalo Bills for the great playing and a great win yesterday. And I feel our defense is definitely back. What would you think that our, if we play the, or when we play the Baltimore Ravens, what would you think the biggest threat to Buffalo is with playing them?
Next Sunday?
Yeah,
I think it's Derrick Henry running the ball, right? I mean, like, I'm respecting Lamar Jackson, of course. He might win the MVP. He certainly has an argument for it. Whether you want Josh Allen or not, you can't objectively say that Lamar Jackson doesn't certainly have a case for MVP. He's amazing at what he does. However, I do think they lean on more of Derrick Henry. If you shut him down, you have more of a chance to win. If you shut down Lamar Jackson, I think Derrick Henry can still beat you. Now, Lamar can still beat you if you shut down Derrick Henry, but I think it's more challenging for the Ravens. And on top of that, of course, the Bills have had troubles against teams that run the ball very well, especially bigger physical running backs like Derrick Henry. We saw what he did when they played the first time, and that's because the Bills are structured, as I've explained before, to stop you from throwing more than stop you from running. And you can't have it both ways. I know you'd love it. You'd love all pros at every position, a great run defense, a great pass defense, and you could be really good in both. But the Bills' philosophy is we're not going to get beat deep. They did once on Sunday, no doubt. That happened. And we're going to make you grind it, run the ball, and then clamp down. But you got to do it then. You got to stop them in the run game when you have a team like this coming to town. Let's go to Owen in Buffalo. Hi, Owen.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, two questions for you.
Yep.
First, the 4th-and-1 touchdown to Ty Johnson.
Yep.
Obviously not going to complain about it. Do you think that was a design QB run and Josh saw something and checked out of it? I don't see a world where 4th-and-1 down that side of the field, Josh isn't running the ball. And then second question for you, if Codrington is ready to go next week, do you think he plays or do you keep Shakir return to punts? Because Shakir looked great back there.
Okay, let me take the second one first. Okay. If Codrington's ready, you play Codrington. As great as Khalil Shakir looked, Brandon Codrington is still the number 4 ranked punt returner in the NFL, 11 yards a return, and you still don't want to put Khalil in that position where he's taking as many hits as he did last week in the open field. I mean, yes, he did look really good. He was fine at it. But it's not like Brandon Codrington stinks, you know what I mean? Like, he's fine. And if Khalil Shakir is available, he's going to be a really big component of your defense next week because, remember, he got hurt in that Ravens game early on. I thought that, you know, the first time they played, I thought that was a big deal. So I say Brandon Codrington's available. He's got to play. That takes less off Khalil Shakir, and Brandon Codrington is very good at what he does anyway, and at any moment he could take one to the house. As far as Josh Allen on the 4th down, okay, so do I think it was a designed run? No, but I will tell you, I thought he should have run. I thought Josh should have run on the play. He seemed like, I'm going to watch the play as I do this with you. So Owen's going to stay on the line with me. I'm going to watch the play. No, he took the snap, immediately dropped back. This looks immediately like a pass play to me. And then as he leaked out, it looked like he's got Curtis Samuel, he's covered. It looked like he had some room. He's got a couple guys chasing him. But if I go back and look at the play, Owen, this is a designed pass all the way.
Absolutely. I mean, I was at the game. I was on that side of the field, and the whole time I'm thinking, he's got to run, he's got to run. And then, you know, he works his Josh Allen magic, got that touchdown, but it was scary.
Yeah, it was, and you would have loved to see either the run get it or just a short pass, but of course, it worked out the way it did. Thanks a lot, Owen. Appreciate your phone call. Michael in Atlanta. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sal, great win and great talking to you. I love listening to you during the game. I love your enthusiasm, man.
Oh, thanks.
Just going. Thank you.
Yeah. It's fun to be down there, and especially when it's rolling like that, man.
And you get paid for it, Sal.
Sometimes I pinch myself. Thanks, Mike.
I know, man. It's great. But I do want to say a couple things. I only need about 30 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so I'll make it brief. But during the year, we noticed a lot of positive signs. And now to come together right now, I think that was one of their best complete games against a good team. I'm not going to say a great team, but they're a good team. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. And I think it's encouraging to see that they're peaking right now, you know, in the playoffs. Hopefully, they're going to keep getting better in the playoffs, and they're going to continue to win. But it is encouraging. And I think one of the things we have to look at is how many players a lot of people never heard of before, like Mac Hollins and Ty Johnson around the league. Who are these guys? It's what does coaching staff, what McDermott gets out of every player. A lot of teams have a lot of really good players, and they don't get the best out of them. But it seems like even with that next man up mentality, when there were so many starters out during the year on offense, defense, losing guys, next man up, you got to give them so much credit for getting the maximum out of these players. And now you see Curtis Samuel healthy. What a great dimension that adds. I mean, look at that guy in that play. When he's out running some of the guys in the secondary, and now he's healthy, there's another guy. Said, okay, yeah, we got to worry about Derrick Henry. And we do. And we have to worry about Lamar Jackson. Yes, we do. But look at all the guys that Baltimore has to be.
That's right. No, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm very confident in this offense right now, the way they're playing. I think you make a great point on Samuel, Michael. I mean, believe it or not, he led the team in receiving yesterday with 68 yards, right? I mean, like, if you would tell me Curtis Samuel's going to lead the team in receiving, I might be like, that's not great. But the way they're doing it, 68, 61 for Shakir, 47 for Kincaid, 38 for Knox. It truly is everybody eats. And when you can see Curtis Samuel in the open field, now you know why they brought him in. This is what they brought him in for. And he is healthy. And I really like your point about just a complete game. That's exactly right. This is a very good team with this is very good player development. We talk about that all the time. Chris Brown brings it up. I bring it up. Player development is really good in this organization. And that's why when you come here and they say, we're going to develop you into the best version of yourself, you see players like Mac Hollins, players like Ty Johnson, who people kind of go and shrug it off when you sign guys like that, but they become role players and really key contributors on your team.
Oh, absolutely, man. And again, real quick, Mac Hollins, look at what this guy does. Just phenomenal at key times. So go Bills. Let's get the Ravens.
Yeah, you got it, Michael. The one area where Mac Hollins needs to maybe kind of, you know, not be as energetic and unbelievable is a couple penalties here or there, right? I don't know how I want to say it, right? There were a couple penalties where he's got to be a little more careful. I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm. And the guy was making plays, and he's made some very, very big plays this year. But, you know, stepping over, what is it called, the Allen Iverson step, I think yesterday they called it.
Where else was he supposed to step? Come on.
I know.
He was going to fall on the guy if he didn't step over him.
I guess so. He was called for it. It's all right. Maybe it's subjective, but just be careful.
Bring back celebrations. Come on.
Yeah, bring back, as long as they don't hurt your team, right? You're right. All right, Steven. Hi, Steven in Virginia. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks.
Yeah, it's kind of picking back off what the last guy said about the receivers. It seems like the Bills have, you know, been in search for, like, you know, they're like secondary receivers now for like the past two or three seasons. Seems like they finally have that good mix. I mean, I know Samuel was hurt earlier on in the season, and seeing that touchdown yesterday reminded me of the touchdown Shakir had against the Jets. I mean, that was awesome. And then with Mac Hollins, I'm assuming the reason why he was struggling earlier on is that he was trying to get used to, how hard, Allen throws the ball to him. My question is, what do you think the Bills are going to do in the offseason? Do you think they're going to try to re-sign guys like, you know, Cooper and Hollins and, you know, any other, like, good receivers now that they finally have a good group?
Steven, I'm going to say this to you because I say it a lot when people call with stuff like this. This is, means no disrespect to you, so I hope you don't take it that way. I do not give one damn right now what they do in the offseason with wide receiver. There is a game next week for the right to go to the AFC Championship. So with all due respect, I'm not going to even think about it right now.
No problem.
You know what I mean? Sorry, I just, it doesn't matter. We'll figure that out later. We'll dissect that later. They're playing right now to go to the AFC Championship next week. I don't care what they're going to do in the offseason at wide receiver. I do care how these guys are playing, and I don't know if it's because he throws the ball hard, but I do think it is an adjustment for any new player to come in with any new quarterback. And let's remember, Josh Allen had one wide receiver on this team that he had played with last year, caught passes, Khalil Shakir. Everybody else was new, so it does take some time. So, like I said, no disrespect to you, but I'm just not going to talk about that right now or think about it.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Jason in West Falls. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I want to talk about one facet of the Joe Brady offense, actually one route that has been very prevalent since week one, which is the wheel route, something that we haven't seen since Mark Broda in the 90s with the Bills offense utilizing Thurman Thomas up the side, up the hash, up the line. And I just think that Joe Brady from week one introducing that is extremely interesting, especially when it's a broken play like the Ty Johnson play that we saw on fourth and one. He was running this wheel route and just faded all the way across the field. And it's worked. It's worked with the tight ends, with some leaks, wheel routes, and it's worked with all the running backs, Davis, Johnson, and Cook. I just want to get your thoughts on how prevalent we might see the wheel route moving forward in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think that's game plan specific. I think it's personnel specific. I love, Jason, that you brought that up with Thurman. Like, he was really good at it. They used it quite a bit. You're right about that. When you have a pass-catching running back, okay, if obviously you want to get him the ball in space sometimes, but especially when you can match him up against a linebacker, because that's a tough, tough matchup on that type of route for a linebacker. We've seen it with James Cook. You go back to the days of Thurman Thomas, that's right. We saw it with Ty Johnson in Detroit. That is a tough route for a linebacker to defend with a running back coming out of the backfield. But the key is you got to protect the quarterback and give him time. And that's partly why the Bills are able to do it, Jason. They have a very good pass protection offensive line. Do not discount that part of it. But yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know how much more prevalent it will be, as you say, but it's certainly something in their arsenal that I love seeing as well. John in Detroit, before we hit the timeout. What's up, John?
Yeah, Sal, real quickly. Number one, I'm just passing through Cleveland. And I'm feeling sorry and making a sign of the cross for the Browns fans again. We're very lucky now to be 9-0 for my trips back to Detroit. I hope we hit double digits next week. Two, we got beat on another fake punt.
Yep.
I think that we had one a couple weeks ago. Do we have any trick plays that we're going to see, or do we not need them? If Josh just puts the cape on.
Well, I would say this, John. Do you remember what happened in Baltimore? They ran a trick play, and it was just a disaster, and then Josh got hurt on that same play, and there was a turnover. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I would say I would say they would love to and wanted to maybe run a few of them, but maybe after that you get a little bit spooked and you say, let's not do that. We don't need to. We can stay on schedule. So, I mean, every once in a while, I think they're really cool to break out, but maybe that just kind of scared them and said, let's not do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, understood. And
yeah.
For Matt in Toronto, just hey, when the World Cup comes in 2026, make sure he gets him and his son tickets.
Yeah, you got it. I think son
was a rush in 2018. Yeah. It was first soccer games I ever saw. It was just unbelievable.
I love that. I love that. Thanks a lot, John. I think son or daughter, either way, whatever kid you got, Matt, everybody up there. That should be fun as well. All right. I'm seeing now N'Kobe Dean is going to be out for the rest of the playoffs from the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a pretty big blow for him. Torres patella tendon, I think is what they wrote here. Suffered a torn patellar tendon in his knee, is out for the playoffs. N'Kobe Dean. So that was a tough blow for him. We'll get to what happened in the NFL as we go on here around the weekend. We do have time for your phone calls as we move on here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 716-803-0550. Glad to be along with you. Great to be along with you on a Buffalo football victory, playoff, victory, football, Buffalo, football, victory, playoff, Monday.
Back to pass, has time, rolling out to his right, going to take off and run for the first down. Milano's got him by the leg and forces him out of bounds. There's the Matt Milano we know.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I mean, I could pick a few of them. Maybe the soundbite of the, I should have asked you to play it, but I'll just read the quote. So we have it. Deion Dawkins in the locker room yesterday. I don't know if you have the actual quote at hand about James Cook. I said to him, so I asked Deion Dawkins after the game, hey, James Cook showed power and elusiveness. We know how elusive he is, but he also showed power. Like, what can you say about him being able to have that multifaceted aspect of his game? Deion's response was, well, his name is Cook, right? He's a chef, right? He got to be able to cook chicken parm, and he got to be able to make mac and cheese. He's the cooker. That's what he said. He's the cooker. Then he said, he's a chef, right? He's got to be able to cook chicken parm and make mac and cheese.
So what type of runs a chicken parm and what type of runs a mac and cheese?
It's a good question. I should have followed up. I'm guessing.
Are there plays called mac and cheese and chicken parm? It's amazing.
I mean, if Josh Allen, if I go back and listen to the call and the broadcast, I'll go watch the broadcast, and sometimes, you know, the mic picks up Josh Allen because the crowd is not loud when they're on the field. If I hear Josh go, mac and cheese, oh, there it is. Chicken parm.
Yeah, the audibles.
I know, right?
Different types of food.
But I know it's a run to James Cook, though. That's the only issue, right? All right, we'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Great to be with you on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. It is a playoff victory Monday after the Bills dominate the Denver Broncos 31-7. We'll talk more about that. We'll get to our Barnes Firm injury report. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and our look ahead to next week, all in the next hour here on WGR.
Buffalo, it is so good to be home on Wild Card Weekend with you. I have been given one job. And that is to rattle the walls of this stadium and let the AFC and the NFL know where the best fans in the world reside. It is in Buffalo. Would you rather be?
shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout.
I mean,
throw
that,
your head back and shout.
Come it's got to give you chills, right? Just listening to that. We aired it live on the pregame broadcast yesterday. Kyle Williams coming, as he said, back home. He is from Louisiana. Everybody knows where the Super Bowl is this year, right? New Orleans, Louisiana. You know? Be great to have Kyle part of that, too. Got a couple wins left to get there, though. The Bills are one of only four teams remaining in the AFC. They'll host the Baltimore Ravens Sunday at 6:30 p.m. On Saturday at 3:30 p.m., it'll be another AFC Saturday South special. AFC South Saturday special. Texans at Chiefs on Saturday. We'll get into all that a little bit later, but we're still talking about what happened yesterday as the Bills dominate the Denver Broncos 31-7 on Wild Card Weekend. Advance to the AFC Divisional Round for the fifth straight season after winning five straight AFC Eastern Division titles. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. And of course, on a Buffalo Bills playoff football victory Monday. Doesn't matter how you say it all. I'm just trying to get it all in there because it feels good. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You can give me a ring right now at 803-0550. We are on Facebook live right now, WGR550. So go to facebook.com/WGR550. Just search for it on Facebook. You'll see me. I'm right there. Hi, my smiling face. You can comment in there. Be nice to me. I can't read your comments, but still be nice anyway. We should just be nice to each other, right? I'm wearing my Buffalo Victory Monday shirt, of course, because we are celebrating a Victory Monday, and that's always a great Monday compared to the alternative, especially here and now, because the alternative is your season's over, and a lot of teams are dealing with that. Somebody called earlier, Steve in Virginia. He's like, what do you think they're going to do to wide receiver next year? I'm like, I don't care. No disrespect to Steve. Like, I don't care. You know who cares about next year right now? The teams whose season is over. That is not the Buffalo Bills. Right now, what matters is what happens in 6 days against the Baltimore Ravens. We will have a lot on that this week. Check out the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Matt Bove and I, we are all on top of it this week. We had a ton of content last week. We're pushing more out this week. We recorded last night. I tweeted it out. It's at the Sal Sports YouTube page. Check it out. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Also, wherever you pod, at the Odyssey app, WGR550.com. Also on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere else. We will hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today. He'll give us an injury report. We are mostly, you know, looking at and concerned about Ray Davis. He's the only player who didn't finish yesterday's game after a few different players had official injury updates. So let's give you that right now. It is our Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll start it off with Ray Davis, the most pressing, because he was really in a, I mean, he it didn't look good on the field, right? He was hit, helmet to helmet, was down for a while, and walked off with trainers on his own power, which is great, and then ruled out with a concussion. He was ruled out of the game after a evaluation for a head injury, ruled out of the game with a concussion. And if Ray Davis can't go against the Ravens, that's a loss. That's a loss for your depth at running back. Frank Gore Jr. would be the next in line, I would think, if they had to elevate someone, but we are still 6 days from there. Ray Davis will go through the concussion protocol, and then we'll see where he's at as the week goes on. If by Thursday he hasn't practiced, that's probably not a great sign. But it doesn't mean that he can't be available. If he's limited by Thursday, I think that's an encouraging sign. So really, Thursday's kind of, for me, the day to really see. But sure enough, could go through that a couple, he could go through a couple days and then be back on the field limited Friday. But more importantly, just his health after that particular shot he took is what's important. Also, Taron Johnson left the game with a evaluation for a head injury. He cleared concussion protocol. He then had a neck evaluation because that was a scary hit. He returned to the game. His backup, Cam Lewis, exact same situation. I don't recall was the neck specifically, but it was certainly a head evaluation for Cam Lewis. He returned to the game and he played. And then you have Alec Anderson, who's obviously a key component to what the Bills do offensively with the extra offensive linemen, six offensive linemen. He had a calf injury, left right before halftime, was questionable to return, but he did return in this game. And if you look at the snap counts for the Buffalo Bills offense, and defense. I tweeted them out today at Sal Sports on Twitter. If you want to go there and take a look at it. If you take a look at the snap counts, Alec Anderson played close to 30% of the snaps, 22 out of 76. He did miss a drive maybe at the end of the first half, but they were using him pretty often, as they usually do. Mac Hollins, the number one wide receiver at 68%. No wide receiver had more than that. So out of 76 possible snaps, Mac Hollins took 52 of them. Keon Coleman, 46. Dawson Knox at tight end out snaps Dalton Kincaid, 46 to 29. Khalil Shakir, 40 snaps. Maybe a little bit of that was laying off of him because of the punt return duty. Someone brought up earlier, what if Codrington is available? Then I think you go to Codrington. He's your punt returner. He's good at it. That allows Khalil Shakir to be used even more in the offense. You know, you have a big punt return, take a couple shots, you might have to come off the field for a play or two just to kind of get reacclimated. And if you can have him available for every play, that'd be great. But how about the game? Excuse me, how about the game that Khalil Shakir had? He was fantastic. I wrote Arrow Up, Arrow Down at WGR550.com. Check it out. The good and the bad from yesterday. There wasn't much bad. Not a lot of arrows down. There was one here that was obviously something you guys all tweeted at me about, the fake punt being allowed. Once again, you gave an arrow down to special teams. I don't. I give an arrow down to that particular play, but I think special teams played a very good game overall outside of that one play, which was not a good play, obviously. Red zone offense wasn't good yesterday. The Bills scored 31 points, and they did that by going, believe it or not, 1-for-5 in the red zone. They still scored 31 points. The first drive on offense didn't go the Bills' way. They bounced back really well. Pass rush. Now, the numbers weren't there, but there are some analytical stats that say the Bills actually did have a good pass rush that forced Bo Nix to kind of run around back there. And I can see that, but you'd still like to see a little bit more finishing, a little bit more in his face, a little bit more getting around the quarterback. You didn't see that, but overall an effective job, even though maybe it wasn't particularly by sight the way you want to see it or statistically. And then too many penalties, 7 for 45 yards. But a lot more good than bad. Check it out, WGR550.com. Talk about Matt Milano. I believe he was the best player for the Bills on defense yesterday. As I said earlier today, at least I hope, we are beyond the Matt Milano shouldn't be playing and Dorian Williams should be playing stuff. Because that's not true after what I saw yesterday. Matt Milano is maybe not back to peak Matt Milano, but he's certainly a lot closer than when he was the first couple of games. And I believe he's the better option for the Bills on defense than Dorian Williams, especially after what I saw yesterday, using him as a spy on Bo Nix and with the team that's coming to town next week. Mac Hollins, as a gunner, got an arrow up. Not as a wide receiver, but because of what he did on special teams on the play where he absolutely demolished, legally, Marvin Mims. Reed Ferguson, after that play, drawing a penalty, getting into it with Marvin Mims, the Broncos had to start at their own 8-yard line. Curtis Samuel had a call earlier, talk about how if he's healthy, oh my gosh, what a boom that is for the offense, and I agree. He led the team with 68 yards, caught all three of his targets. One was, of course, a 59-yard touchdown that basically, at that point, I think kind of sealed the game for the Bills, put them up 28-7. How about the Bills' job on defense on running backs? I want to give you a number here, a stat. Check this out. Outside of Bo Nix, and of course he matters, he counts, I'm not telling you he doesn't, but outside of Bo Nix, the Broncos ran the ball 13 times for 36 yards, 2.8 yards a carry. They did a great job, the Bills' defense, on bottling up the run game. And Bo Nix, he ran for 40-something yards. A bunch of that was on one drive where he got out. Speaking of bottling up, Marvin Mims, outside of the catch on the fake punt, which was something you can't give up, you shouldn't, the all-pro returner and speedy wideout touched the ball 4 times. Outside of that one, 4 times. 2 runs, a catch, and a punt return for -3 yards. Third down defense has been an issue for the Bills this year. It was not yesterday. They came into the game near the bottom of the NFL on third down defense. They held the Broncos to 2 of 9 total. 0 of 4 in the second half. Really nice job there. And the Bills themselves converted 8 of 15 on third down. A lot of that was, you know, some of that was Josh Allen magic. Some of that was designed runs. Nice call by Joe Brady for Josh Allen to get out. We're going to see more of that maybe against Baltimore. Now's the time where you can't let anything back. You can't hold back. You got to win. 803-0550 is the phone number here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Rick in Cheektowaga starts us off this hour. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how's it going, Sal?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to compliment the Bills coaching for the second half adjustments.
Yeah.
Because, like, what was it? 10-3 or 10-7 at halftime, right?
10-7. And if it wasn't for the ball hitting the upright, it would have been a tie game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the adjustments, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, you know, like on offense and defense?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they talked about, I haven't gone back and dissected the film exactly, but I just think that they basically decided, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, Bo Nix cannot, you know, stand back there and you got to move him off his spot a little bit. He if you saw in the second half, he was scrambling a little bit. He had a couple designed rollouts. I think that helped. Didn't allow them. I didn't mean to release you there, Rick. I think that was part of it, adjusting. I don't think there was much adjustment on the offensive side. I think it was just stick to the game plan, keep running the ball the way we are. They ran for over 200 yards. They just didn't finish in the first half. They finished in the second half. I think defensively it was about, hey, you don't let them sit back there and just launch the ball downfield and get beat deep. Okay, if you make them move around a little bit, it's going to be a little more difficult. And you saw them moving around a lot in the second half, and some of that was them calling those plays to move around. My man Butch on the east side, what's going on, buddy?
First of all, I love WGR, I love the fans, and I definitely love you, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm going to get right to it. I'm happy about what happened yesterday. I'm very impressed. I stayed away for a few weeks, not even calling, because I was sick and tired of the regular season. You know, everybody was saying that, not everyone, but the players were saying that, you know, they've been working on things, getting ready for the playoff. They didn't want to show their hand. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see the hand that was shown before I could start commenting. I'm very, very, very excited about the way they play. Congratulations to both sides of the ball. Now let's get right to the nitty and to the gritty. The nitty is the Baltimore Ravens, and the gritty is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, reason why I say that is, first of all, on this offense side of the ball, where even though Ray Davis is, you know, I hope he gets back and I hope he's well, fires just for his own personal health. Get playing football, just for his own personal health. But at the same time, this is when Joe Brady has to really implement something that he did a little bit during a regular season. But if he can use this now for these next, well, I'm going to say two games, I'm going to say three games, we'll come home with a trophy. when he goes with the no huddle, just a little bit more on a fast pace, with based off that 500 yards he threw up on the number one defense yesterday, no one will be able to stop him. Joe, if Davis is not available, I'm not saying it's okay. It is okay to a certain degree. He can go spread wide. He can go with Shakir. He can go with Coleman, Cooper, and Samuel, and then Kincaid. And then he'll be in the backfield by himself. He'll spread them out thin. Gatsby on Josh Allen be the running back if he has to be. But then you can go on a no huddle up tempo a little bit more against the Baltimore Ravens. Defensive side of the ball. And again, thanks for taking my call and kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five. Is on the defensive side of the ball. Even though you were speaking about the Dorian Williams scenario, I concur with what you're saying. And I understand your point of why you said that. But now this is the time to implement the real 4-3 against Baltimore. When you come with three linebackers now to stop 22, to stop number 8. And this why, then you can go ahead and get more pressure on the quarterback. You can solidify that D-line fires running that football and then use that no-huddle I was speaking about on the offensive side of the ball just to get through the nitty. And then when you play that gritty, you go ahead and continue doing what you're doing, and you go ahead and bring that trophy home. I love you, Sal. Again, I love WGI. I love MSG and the fans out there. I definitely love you. Kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five.
Yeah, you got it, Butch. All right, thanks a lot for the call. All right, so what I want to say about Dorian Williams and Matt Milano on the call here is, and I just said a little while ago, we shouldn't have any more calls for Dorian Williams playing over Matt Milano. I do think that Dorian Williams has a spot in this 4-3, as Butch brought up, if they want to play some base defense against this particular team. Here's my prediction for Sunday as far as how they'll play this. I do not think the Bills will start off in a base defense. Taron Johnson is too important. You have to have him on the field. Now, it might also matter if they have Zay Flowers or not available, right? The Baltimore Ravens, because he can be in the slot, and that's more challenges and problems. They have two very good tight ends, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. You don't prefer to cover them with linebackers, but you know they are tight ends, and sometimes that has to be done. And I think you feel comfortable with Matt Milano in how he can cover. The Bills play a lot of zone defense. Matt Milano played spy a lot on Bo Nix. I think that they will play 4-3 in certain situations. I do not think they'll do it the whole game. I don't think they'll start off in there. I don't think you want Taron Johnson off the field because essentially that's what you have to do. You replace Taron Johnson with a linebacker to go 4-3. You can, I think, use Dorian Williams in these specific situations, and maybe not only because you see run coming, you have personnel, they bring in their big fullback, but also because it might discourage and make the Ravens change their play. Maybe they have something, a run designed, and then they say, you know what, 4-3, we're not running into that box. Let's, you know, do something else. No, now you have to contend with Lamar. I get it. And maybe there's where either Matt or Dorian become a spy. I think it's a fascinating chess match. Can't wait to see it unfold. Butch mentioned, excuse me, the Broncos' number one defense. Just to set the record where they are, they finished second in the league in yards per play allowed, seventh in yards per game. They finished third in the league in points per game allowed at 18.3. They were a very, very, very good defense throughout the regular season, no doubt. Let's go to Dan in Akron. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment from someone who was at the game and surrounded by a bunch of people who appeared to have similar opinions. I know it's the sum of all stats at the end of the day, the defensive line certainly had a serviceable, adequate game. But I'm concerned about plays that are completely taking off. You know, there's five or six plays where Bo Nix had easily 3.5, 4 seconds in the pocket, not even rushed at all. If you give Lamar Jackson half a dozen plays with 4 seconds, we're in trouble. If you look at Ed Oliver, I love him. He's starting to turn into an all-or-nothing player. He had zero pressures, zero sacks, zero tackles. We have to find a solution to get a much better, consistent pass rush. And I wonder what your opinion is on Ed Oliver, quite frankly. I'm not insinuating we have a better solution, but he is completely all-or-nothing, and he's not playing up to his capabilities.
I think that's fair. I think all or nothing is a good way to describe it. You saw a lot this year where he's not shown up in the stat sheet, and then when he does, it seems like it's in a big way, feast or famine. They had a very, very good offensive line yesterday. It's the number two offensive line in pass protection in the league, behind only the Bills, by the way. I think you have to give them credit for that, Dan. You know, it's not easy to get to their quarterback, no doubt about it. I do think that both teams are different, but you're going to have a different game plan, but they are similar in this regard. I do wonder how much yesterday was, hey, obviously you want to rush the passer, but you got to be very careful about contain. You know, especially against Lamar. If you go straight at Lamar and just take a beeline to him, he makes one move, he's out the gate. If you try to contain him in the pocket, you're not going to get the sack, you're not going to be credited with the pressure, but you kind of get to the result you want maybe. I think that's where you have to thread the needle here, Dan. I don't disagree. I'd love to have seen more getting to the quarterback, getting around him more, hitting him more, getting him on the ground, of course, no doubt about it. But I do think what you saw yesterday was them at least making sure that he didn't, when he moved in the pocket up until one drive where he did actually do this a little bit when they were down, he wasn't able to really escape too often other than that one drive. And that's the key with Lamar. So I agree with you, Dan. They have to be better in pass rush. They got to get a better interior rush. I do think they're not at playing. I do think they played a really, really good defensive offensive line, though, as well on Sunday against the Broncos. And, yeah, I mean, Ed Oliver has been a bit feast or famine this year. I don't think anybody disagree with you.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Hope that helped. That's my thought on it. Kim on a cell. Hi, Kim.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
I have two comments, and I want your input on it.
Okay.
I think the best signing was Mac Hollins. Mm. Kudos to Brandon Bean. I know he's done a ton, but that man is just so versatile and gives his all and pours everything out in that field. Not he's the only one that does it, but to only be here for a year and have that loyalty and see that on the field, it's refreshing. And two.
And they signed him for, by the way, $2.6 million cap hit, which is not a lot of money, obviously.
Wow. What a bargain. And my other point was, I feel the unsung hero this year is Aaron Kromer.
I love it.
Offensive, I mean, I don't care who your quarterback is, what type of receivers, what type of running back. If you don't have guys in front of you protecting that awesome quarterback and making holes for that running back, you got nothing. So, yeah. Unbelievable, outstanding. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Also,
yes.
I am an 81 Cleve Hill graduate.
Come on. All right, Kim. Yeah. Right here. Love those Eagles. Hey, I love my Cleve Hill family. Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate you sharing that. I'm sure we have some mutual friends. I don't know where you grew up. I actually, my first few years, I grew up in Tyrunda in Cedar Grove Heights.
Many friends were there. I was on South Huxley.
Well, listen, did you watch the drive-in from your friends' houses in Cedar Grove Heights? Because we did that and turned on the radio. That's what we did.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. Hope you didn't go to the drive-in and, you know, sneak in with the trunk or anything like that. People did that as well. Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. Always shout out to my Cleve Hill family. Very proud of my roots growing up in Cheektowaga and going to Cleveland Hill throughout my entire kindergarten through senior year. Okay, Kim. You know, Kim, even before you said that, I was going to tell you in the world how smart you are. But now even more so since you said you're a Cleve Hill grad. That is a great call and something I actually said last week. I did a couple TV shows, one for Spectrum, one for Channel 4. And on both shows, I said, if I had to give an unsung hero award to any Buffalo Bill this year, I might give it to Aaron Cromer. And I know he's not a player. It's exactly what she said. He's a coach. This guy, what he's done for this offensive line, for what Deion Dawkins, the way he talked about him last week, how he teaches people differently based on their body, based on their tendencies or their everything about them, right? Their mental and physical capabilities. I just think he deserves a ton of credit. And look at the results on the field, obviously, with both the run game and the passing game, and especially yesterday. Thanks a lot for the call, Kim. Let's go to Derek in South Carolina. Hi, Derek.
Hey, good morning, Sal. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, man. Good morning.
Hey, I do road striping for a living, man. You got me fired up with that Kyle Williams, so there might be a crooked line or two here.
I love it. Be careful, man. Be careful. People driving South Carolina going all over the place. We don't want that. Thank you.
No kidding. But yeah, I was my thing was about Ed Oliver myself. I had to listen to the game on the radio, you know, because I had to work. But you just didn't hear his name much yesterday. Yeah. I thought he was hurt. You know, I understand, you know, you can't get there every day, but I just don't know what's going on with him this year. Kind of like what he said, you know, it's either hit or miss with him. And I really love him. I love the guy as a player. And what about Samuels, man? What a sign by Brandon Bean.
Yeah, listen, and I just said a little bit, thank you, Derek, be careful while you're doing your job out there, please, in South Carolina, and keep those people straight. Yeah, Ed Oliver's been hit or miss. There's no doubt. Feast or famine. And I agree with you. Let's look at his snap counts yesterday. You wouldn't think. I mean, he plays a lot. Here we go. And he did not show up on the stat sheet. I'm sorry. He did not show up on the stat sheet yesterday. 81%, 34 of 42. Again, I will give credit to the Broncos offensive line. They're very good. But I think you want a little bit more from your guy in the middle. Now, look, that said, I mean, the Broncos had nothing running the ball. I mean, you got it. Interior defensive line is about both pressure and stopping the run, right? You want the pressure. You didn't get that necessarily, but they did a good job of stopping the run. I know he might not have showed up in the stat sheet. He's got to be credit for that too, but you hope it'd be great to show up, no doubt, next week. And listen, this is a team, the Ravens. Remember the, 87-yard run for Derrick Henry to start the game in Baltimore? Was it 87? I think it was. They went right after Ed Oliver, and they trapped him. On the first play, they trapped him right in the middle, and Ed had a wham block, it's called, on him, and you know, really nothing he could do about it. And then from there, they had that big hole. One more before the break. Tom in NT. What's up, Tom?
Sal, how you doing? Sorry I missed you yesterday. But I want to talk about one of the defensive linemen, but I'm going to shift over to praising a guy, and that's Von Miller. And I know he didn't put up a lot of numbers yesterday, but just watching it, he was really getting on. His quickness is really back, and I just think it's remarkable for a guy his age who's had two knee surgeries. But he was getting off that ball. He was containing Knicks, and he was even really his run defense was great. It's always been an underrated part of his game. Everybody thinks of Von Miller and all the sacks and all that, but his run defense was great. And for, you know, I know he's been kind of quiet this year, and I get that, but I really thought yesterday, and I agree with you, Milano was their best player on defense. I think. You know, I can make a strong case that Von Miller was their second best, and I know he didn't put up huge numbers, but boy, he just seems to have that spark back, that quickness back, that quick twitch he has coming off the line, and I just love seeing what he was doing yesterday, and they can get that out of him for these next three games. It can really be special for them.
Yeah, good call. I agree with you. I thought that a lot of that was showing up yesterday, especially as the game went on. It seemed like he was getting a lot closer as the game went on. And as you know, Tom, I mean, it's easier when you know they're going to throw, right? You're pinning your ears back. I get all that. But I thought as the game went on, you know, he definitely he was credited with only one quarterback hit, but I think he made a bigger impact than that. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, we will take a timeout when we come back. Let's run through what happened yesterday. Let's start a little bit to turn the page and look ahead to next week. We got a game tonight as well. We got a little bit of time here if you want to take a call or two. We can do that. 803-0550. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. A look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens. All still coming up here today on a Buffalo playoff victory football Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Another hand off to Cook. Through a hole. Bounces off a tackler. Still driving, his legs. Fighting, and he's got the first down and more. Still going with forward progress into Denver territory. How about this Buffalo offensive line making a statement?
Right, rolling along here on a Buffalo Victory Football Monday playoff edition. I've said it many different ways today. It doesn't matter because it all just feels good to talk about it with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, as always on a Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right, let's take a call or two, and then I'm going to turn the page a little bit. We'll talk about what happened this week and then look to next week. Greg in Lancaster. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sal. I just had two quick questions. Sorry to the first was MVP voting. Is there a deadline?
Yes.
I'm curious.
It's already passed. It's the it had to be by last week, at the end of last week's regular season. The playoff games do not count. All voters have to have their votes in probably by, like, Tuesday of last week.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. It's like, if they could take into consideration, obviously.
No.
You know, you hope they don't, but obviously it's good that there's a deadline. The other question I had was, I was at the game. There's a cute blonde on the sideline I saw you talking to. Who was that?
Well, I talked to a lot of people on the sidelines. They all have different color hair, too. Steve in Michigan. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, go Bills. Great victory. Just two quick things. On the Bill Vinovich conversation with Josh Allen, it was pretty easy to read Vinovich's lips, and I don't know if people are thinking he was yelling at Allen or something like that. I think what had happened, of course, there was the holding call that wasn't called in the end zone, and Bills had to kick the field goal. But Vinovich, and of course, Josh was screaming at refs, some of the crew about it. Well, Vinovich comes over there, and you could see what he says there, and reading his lips. It was something like, it happened. That's not on them. It's on me.
Yeah. We talked about it on the radio broadcast.
Okay.
It was after Dalton Kincaid was clearly held in the end zone, yep. And he wanted a penalty, and Josh wanted a penalty, and in that timeout or whatever that happened, the Bills kicked a field goal, and then they go to a TV timeout. Vinovich had a conversation with Josh and apparently was saying something. It looked like the effect of, that's our bad, we missed that one.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting that it was actually Kincaid that didn't really catch that ball down the field, but that just kind of went by. Hey, just one other quick thing. I suppose it's like a makeup call almost. But I believe on this game coming up next weekend, Sal, that the 35-10 win that the Ravens had over the Bills creates a decided psychological advantage for the Bills this weekend. And the reason for that is that the number one, the basic side of it, is the fact that it's hard to beat a team twice in a season.
Yeah.
Especially if now you're going to their place and so forth. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, there's the business of the Ravens, you know, kind of tend to maybe crumble when they have wins. But I think the bigger and deeper thing is the fact that they beat the Bills that badly. Psychologically, that sets the benchmark for the Ravens, is that's what we have to do to beat the Bills. Score three times as many points. And how, with the Bills laying 31 unanswered on Denver yesterday, it's got to be in their minds that the Bills are going to score probably more than 10 points when they go and see them. I think the Bills have a huge psychological advantage because of how badly the Ravens beat them before. That set the benchmark for how the Ravens have to perform this time, and it's a high mark.
All right.
They might have been far better off if they'd beaten the Bills 27-24.
Yeah, I mean, I would always say, Steve, sorry, I got to go, man. Thank you. I would say it this way. Thanks for the call, Steve. I always believe that when you match up, the team that lost has a bit of an advantage because they'll make more adjustments versus the team that won. The team that won says, hey, let's just do what we did. Now, they will make adjustments, but a lot of times it's, let's stick to that plan. It worked last time. The team that lost has to kind of regather themselves, think about what went wrong, why they lost, make adjustments. We also know the Bills did not have Matt Milano, of course, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, none of them in that game. They also lost Khalil Shakir early. Not an excuse. The Ravens won the game, deserved it. They really played a good game and just blew out the Bills. But I do think things can be different in this game for a lot of different reasons. That is one of them, having those guys healthy. Another is what you just said, Steve, having the ability to kind of go back and say, what went wrong in that game? What can we fix? A lot of times I think that is a bit of an advantage for teams that, you know, lost the previous game. Okay, I mean, if the same is said, if the Bills play the Chiefs, you kind of look at it the other way too, right? Look at the Chiefs. They lost to the Bills. They'll want to atone for that. It's their only loss of the year. But that is getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's go back and take a look at what happened this weekend. Speaking of the Chiefs, they, of course, had a bye week this week. They did not play. They awaited what happened in the AFC, which all got kicked off on Saturday. The Texans. How did the Texans, the way they played, win by 20? Unbelievable. 32-12 over the Chargers. Justin Herbert throws three picks all year. He throws four in this one game. Playoffs are just a different animal. I respect the Texans' pass rush. They're going to be coming after Patrick Mahomes. That's what they're going to have to do to try and beat him on this Saturday. But, boy, the Texans, they just kind of turned up the heat and made some plays on defense, and you look up, it's 32-12. Also, I do wonder, you know, with everything going on in L.A., you hope that the Chargers, you know, would be able to have a full, you know, attention on a game, but I'm sure at some point that wasn't the case last week with everything going on in L.A., with the fires. Of course, the Ravens then on Saturday night, they beat the Steelers 28-14. They had a 21-0 lead, and then the Steelers scored, then the Ravens scored, then the Steelers scored. And then, you know, there were a couple times where it looked like the Steelers were going to get the ball. Down two scores, and you never know. Mike Tomlin, how do you punt on fourth and inches from, like, what, the 35, close to 40, whatever it was? I just, man, you got to give your team a chance to win. You just weren't going to do it that way. Ravens win. Derrick Henry just goes off in this game. Runs for 186 yards in this one. Okay, after the Bills game yesterday, the Eagles beat the Packers 22-10, and they just stifled them on offense. The Packers had a couple opportunities. They just couldn't score. They missed a field goal. They wound up getting some injuries here. Saquon Barkley runs for 119 yards in this one. Jordan Love throws for 212, but throws three interceptions to that Philadelphia defense. Philadelphia now will host their division rival, the Washington Commanders. Best game of the weekend so far. 23-20, Washington beats Tampa. They go there, and how about Jaden Daniels? I'm going to talk about him in just a moment. Hint, hint. Sit up, stand down. But he throws for 268 yards and two touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, 185 and a pair of touchdowns. They did a nice job of containing Mayfield in that offense, only 20 points scored. And at the end of the day, Greg Zuerlein, at the end of the game, gets a walk-off field goal for the Washington Commanders, who move on now to go to Philly to take on the Eagles in the divisional round. We'll look ahead to the next game and the next week when we come back here, get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, as well, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, thank you so much to the many people who have tweeted at me, at SalesPorts, to correct me about my stupid gaffe last segment, saying the Commanders are at the Eagles next week. My bad. I don't know why I kept thinking that. I was just doing a lot of work last night. I kept thinking that was the case, and then you look at the state. No, my bad, totally. I said it like three times, all right? Not the case. Commanders at Lions next week. The Eagles will play the winner of tonight's game. Thank you so much for all of you who tweeted at me. I really appreciate that. Let's see. Who was it? Sean, Donnie, Michael, Road Guy, Colin. Thank you. My apologies, everybody. Chauvin Bulldogs picks. Thank you. I know. I got you, man. My bad. Hey, you know what? If that's the worst mistake I make today, that's a hell of a day. So let's make it the case, all right? Thank you all. Seriously. Just shows you a lot of you are listening and paying attention. I appreciate that. But, okay, so what do we got? Let's get to our Lake Hour look ahead. It is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. I had some Lake Hour this weekend. I love it this time of year especially. You got the chill in the air. You think about being at the lake, being around a chill. But you know what? Maybe you're in your home. Maybe you're outside enjoying a little bit of weather that kind of changes every once in a while. You got snow, you got sun, doesn't matter. We had a great weather day yesterday inside the stadium. Enjoy Lake Hour. Go to lakehour.com. And, of course, that's where you can find all of their incredible flavors. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. I got a text from Rich Pete during the game. He was at the game. He's a big Bills Mafia fan. He was rooting on the game yesterday, rooting on the team. Rich Pete, along with Wyatt Russell, developed Lake Hour, and they're there for you wherever you get your favorite local liquor store, whatever that is, pick it up. Okay, Bills, Ravens, next Sunday, 6:30. I'm not even going to spend much time on that game because we're going to have a lot more about it as the week rolls on, starting with after this when we get you to One Bills Live here on WGR. But also next week, of course, as I was just saying, you got the Commanders at the Lions. Thank you again for all the corrections and letting me know I screwed that up. And then, of course, tonight's game, you have the winner between the L.A. Rams and the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, that game will be in Glendale, Arizona due to the fires. That team and winner will be taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll be Sunday before the Bills-Ravens. You got Texans at Chiefs, Commanders at Lions Saturday. Winner tonight at Eagles on Sunday, Ravens at Bills on Sunday as well. Okay, let's sit up on Jaden Daniels. How about this? Jaden Daniels, good for him. The last team to lose to a rookie quarterback and a road playoff start was the Washington Commanders. When Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson beat RG3, right? Russell Wilson went and beat RG3. They were the last team to lose. Now they have the last team to have a rookie quarterback win a road playoff game. So how about that? Jaden Daniels was fantastic last night. Love watching him play. Super exciting player. Let's stand down on this weird playoff schedule. I mean, it's not that I hate the game times, but it's always different. It's 1-4. It's 3-6:30 every week. We're just okay. What do we got next week? Right? Again, next week 4:30 and 8 at Saturday. 3-6:30 on Sunday. I think the championship games are the same. Kind of just throws you off a little bit. So I'm just gonna stand down on all the confusion people have on what's going on with the scheduling, but it is 6:30 for the Bills next week. And now it's time for Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
My buddy, did you see this tweet by Wolf Blitzer? I love it. Wolf Blitzer tweeted yesterday, "I'm very happy, hashtag go Bills." He's from the Buffalo area. And the best part is you gotta go look at it, folks. Go look at Wolf Blitzer on Twitter, CNN. He's been around the media many, many years, CNN especially. And I mean, his picture, he's watching the Bills play and he's pointing to the TV and it's this literally like 1980s cabinet with TV, a VCR and a DVD player underneath it. It's unbelievable and it's amazing and I love it. And I tweeted at him, I'm very proud to say, Wolf Blitzer follows me on Twitter, and I said, "Wolf, I got to come over and bring my old Bills games on VHS. We got to watch these things together." Wolf, you're my buddy. I love it. Thank you for being my buddy. Thank you. Also, I don't know if I mentioned it last Monday. I think I did. But it would have been in between. My buddy, also, my wife, Yana, it was her birthday this week. We had a great time, and she is such a trooper. I had TV shows on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday this week. We had dinner planned. We pushed it to Friday. She was totally fine with that. Love you, Yana. Thank you. Happy birthday. Thanks for being my biggest supporter. She's also my buddy. One Bills Live up next.